Couple of minutes, and then we'll adopt your article, I hope. Members, I think, you know, 2 days ago we had maybe one amendment. We do have several amendments today, so we want to pay attention. And members, in your packets or maybe on top of your packets, you've got the spreadsheets from Monday that we had finished with.
Thank you.
Okay, do most people have the amendment? Senator Pappas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We had an unexpected problem with our reciprocity payments to North Dakota, which increased my target. Subsequently, we realized that we didn't have to do that, so I am fortunately able to delete line 313 and not take a reduction in the state grant. I also deleted line 317, and I'm not taking a reduction in the Indian Scholarship Program, and I'm taking on 317 a lesser reduction in work study. The other thing this amendment does is we found out recently that the Academic Medical Center at the University of Minnesota intends to cut funding for the Graduate Family Medicine Education Programs at Hennepin County Medical Center. And my division has been very strongly in support of graduate family medicine. We need more family practice doctors. We put this money in the bill originally for this program, and we would like to maintain it.
Okay, so we have the A14 amendment in front of us. Let me make clear, this doesn't change Senator Pappas's target. Again, there had been a mistake made relative to, in particular, the North Dakota reciprocity, and that's what led to some of the cuts, and now with realization of the mistake, reinstatement of those cuts that were her last cuts made. Further discussion on the A14 amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Further, Senator Pappas, or Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I have the A15 amendment. Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you. This amendment relates to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center, which in last year's appropriations bill, there was a specific line item that asked the university to contribute some money to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center to help with their construction expenses. There's been a gradual transition while this the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center has moved off the campus and created a separate, it's now a separate entity from the university, but has a close relationship, works together with the vet school, et cetera. And there's been some confusion about the language that was in last year's bill. And President Brunix so the money has not been transferred. And President Brunix recommended some new language, which you see in this amendment, that clarifies that the money has to be a direct grant from the university to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center for those expenses. This is the language that the university prefers to get that transfer completed. And so I would like to have it in the bill today.
Mr. Chairman, I support the amendment.
Okay. Further discussion on the A15 amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Pappas.
We're completed then, Mr. Chairman.
So do you want to move adoption of your article?
Oh. It's Article 1?
Two.
Article 2.
Article 2. Okay, then, Mr. Chairman, I would move adoption of Article 2 into the SC 7645.
Okay, on the Pappas motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you, Senator Pappas. Let's maybe we'll go to Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you.
Did we lose Senator Tomasoni? I saw him. Okay, so we have the economic development, which can be found on page 30 of the bill.
Article 7, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Article 7 is the economic development cut article of the bill, and our target was $28.2 million, Mr. Chairman. We arrived at the maybe, you know, Mr. Chairman, I got a couple of amendments that maybe I should put on the bill first so we get it in the shape that we're going to work off of it. And there is an A8 amendment, I believe, dealing with.
Are these technical amendments, Senator Tomasoni?
This is a technical amendment, yes.
Okay.
This conforms the bill to the spreadsheet, and it's a couple of governor recommendations on. One is on fraud prevention on small brokers and who must register, and another one is pertaining to fees on continuing education courses. And we need to put this on the bill just to get it to conform to the cuts.
Okay, has the amendment been distributed?
Thank you.
So they have the amendment? Anything else you wish to say on the amendment?
No, but would you like me to add the other amendment at the same time? That's a fiscal.
I don't know.
On the 8-8.
Members should note the very clever way Senator Tomasoni presents his bill.
There's nothing clever about it. It's just very straightforward.
Not in terms of substance, but delivery.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we have the A8 amendment in front of us. Is there further discussion?
Just
if Senator Betzold.
Mr. Chair and Senator Tomasoni, again, this pertains to the budget. How?
Higher ed pass.
Mr. Chairman, Benson. Members, these would be governor's recommendations, and it affects the revenue of the bill. The revenue, Mr. Chairman, the items are on the spreadsheet, so these just conform to the governor submitted.
Do you want to make a reference, Mr. Jensen, to where on the spreadsheet?
Mr. Chairman, these are in the Department of Commerce. It should be on line 102. And by taking off the fee for the continuing education, there's a small loss of revenue of $11,000 a year. And then the securities filing thing raises $100,000 each year. But it's a net amount, and that's, again, showing in the governor's column also.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm looking at the A8 amendment. We're striking four lines out of current law on individuals wishing to receive credit for approval. I don't understand how this is tying into the spreadsheet. Different amendment?
It was my understanding, Senator Betzold, in talking to staff, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Betzold, looking at that section 20, you see up at the top, courses, these are continuing education courses, must be approved by the commissioner in advance. But lines 22 to 25 talk about what happens if a course has not been approved in advance. Then a person under current law is able to get credit for the course if they send an application saying, please approve this course, even though it wasn't approved in advance. The department is now collecting a fee of $10 for each of those applications. And it happens often enough that they're collecting about $11,000 a year from those late approval fees. This strikes that language for the late approval, and thus the fees won't be coming in. So that costs $11,000 a year, and that's what you see on the spreadsheet.
Thank you.
Why do we want to do that?
Okay. Further questions on the A8 amendment? Okay, if not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Then, Mr. Chairman and committee members, the way we arrived at our budget target was to do 3% and 5% cuts in the first year and in the second year, respectively. And then there are several different places where there were some pots of money that we tapped into, such as the Job Skill Partnership has some carry forward money where there's $1 million coming out of, and the Housing Finance Agency has a para fund that is has about $2 million that is coming out. The other things are mostly in the Commerce Department. There's an auto theft prevention amount of $1 million. There's a licensed technology surcharge, petrol cleanup claims and petrol cleanup fund, real estate, education research recovery. And then there's a security filing fee that in increasing the target to $28.2 million, we needed to find some money, and there's an increase in a fee that goes from 1/20 of 1% to 1/15 of 1%, and that raises about $8.5 million. That left us with a little bit of an extra on the bottom line, Mr. Chairman, and we, in talking to the people at tourism, we were told that on in the bill on page 32, line 4, there's a carry forward of $356,000. We've been told that that was obligated, and that if we left it in the bill, they would have to find money from their budget to pay for that. And since we have a little bit on the bottom line, we thought it'd be appropriate to not use that as part of the budget cutting. So if it's okay with the chairman of the committee, I would like to delete subdivision 5 on page 32.
And, Sir Thomas, only again, you said that, I don't know if anybody wants to hear from Mr. Edmonds on it, but you indicated that it's your understanding that this, that the money was contractually obligated.
That was our understanding.
So you say obligated.
Yeah, that was our understanding.
They've signed contracts.
That was our understanding, and while it was in the carry forward, it was money that they had planned to use for contracts that they had already been obligated to.
And Mr. Jensen, did you talk directly to the agency about that?
Mr. Chairman, the agency testified to that effect. Yeah.
Okay. Right. So we have. Are you making that amendment now, Senator Thomas?
Yes, I think that'd be appropriate, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So on that would be what, deletion on page 32 of lines, what, 32, 4, 5, and 6?
Subdivision 5, I think, would be appropriate, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. All right. Discussion on that amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Thomas.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that I have anything else. I don't know, Mr. Jensen, did I cover everything?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that was a good outline.
I should point out, Mr. Chairman, that we did not zero out public radio or public television. We did not zero out the Arts Board, and we did not zero out the Film Board. So we just thought it was fair that everybody take their fair share of the cuts, and that's what we did for everybody.
All right, further discussion, questions for Senator Tomasoni? Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Tomasoni, as probably a lot of us, I've received a lot of calls just recently about the state services for the blind. Can you talk about the cuts that they'll be receiving?
Hey, what do we got there?
Mr. Jensen?
32 or 31.
Chairman, yes, the state services for the blind are part of the 3 and 5%. Within their budget, they have matching money for voc rehab funds, and it is a difficult cut for all of the programs, and they are one of the larger items within deed of general fund money. So, yes, they are getting a 3 and 5% cut, and it will be difficult for them.
Mr. Chair and Senator Tomasoni or Mr. Jensen, can you tell us what the impacts of those cuts will be?
Well, Mr. Chairman, they would serve less clients, blind clients in their offices, less consulars perhaps, and less, there will be less state, less government services to those individuals.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Anderson, when they testified in committee, they thought the governor's cut was too large at 7%, and the 3% and 5%, they were understanding, as every other agency was, that everybody's got to share in the pain here, and that a smaller cut would be preferable to the bigger cut, and we put in the same reduction for them as we did for everybody else at 3% and 5%.
Okay, are there other questions for Senator Tomasoni? Senator Tomasoni, obviously, there's a lot in here that's non-general fund. But I think, with the exception of what the securities, the mutual insurance fee, there's nothing else that's non. There's nothing you're affecting in terms of non-general fund.
I think I mentioned all the things that weren't, and the language refers to transfers in several different places, so that it shows where it's coming out of a fund and going into the general fund.
Into the general fund. Okay. All right, further questions for Senator Tomasoni? Thank you to Mr. Jensen for your editorial comment about Senator Tomasoni's presentation. You said that was a good outlet. You never said stuff like that about me when you were my fiscal analyst.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Cohen, I've tried to train you over these many years. I think I've done a good job, too.
He was just a quicker learner than I was. Is that,
Mr. Chair, I too want to commend Senator Tomasoni for mumbling his way through his article.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment, Senator Metzl.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Metzl.
Yeah, just a comment. And there's nothing we can do about it. But some of these funds, like the petrol, and the real estate education fund. Tax themselves for claims against real estate, and then the petrol fund is set up to take care of these things. And this is an example of how tough times are going, because these, like the realtors' fees, they accepted them to pay off the claims. Well, we're raiding that fund, but I guess we're doing that all over the place. But I had to say it, that they were set aside for particular reasons. They're taxing themselves.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Metzen, it's an indication of how difficult the budget cutting actually is, and where we have to go to do these things. And in fact, when I introduced the bill to my committee, I said this is the worst bill that I've ever carried in my life. And I would love.
Mr. Chairman, I acknowledge that, but I just wanted to make it clear that they were obviously set aside for particular reasons, and
these aren't fun times, that's for sure.
They're in tough times.
Senator Madison, I would suggest, and this is my editorial comment, that I think the Senate's done a much better job of trying to maintain, with the considered budget difficulties, has done a better job of maintaining the integrity of these funds in terms of original intent than the administration has.
I agree with that comparison. I thought it should be brought out again.
Senator Tomasoni moves adoption of Article 7 of the bill. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman of the Committee.
Senator Betzold. And Senator Betzold is Article 11 of the bill, State Government, on page 55.
Thank you. I don't see Mr. Lundane, so I'll probably. Here he is. Okay.
Listen up the stairs.
Mr. Chair and members, the state government budget spreadsheet reflects both the targets that were given, but also there was another issue that is probably going to come up later on that dealing with a broader scope that crosses jurisdictional lines, and of course I could not do that within the confines of my article. I do have, first of all, an amendment. I had an A7 amendment. I don't know if it's still A7. And there made me, and basically the we had finished our article before the GAMC agreement was reached, and so as part of our reductions, we dealt with the health care access fund as to the extent it was paid by the legislative branch. That is no longer needed to be done, so the A7 amendment takes that out. Another issue that we'll be discussing is the fact that we are raising money for tax compliance officers. We heard testimony within the budget division about the fact that there may be some training needed for some of these new tax compliance officers, and it was the sense of the budget division to provide some funds. We had a blank appropriation line on page 58, line 33. That fills it in, but I'm not – is the number changed to 235,000? Okay. So I'll incorporate on the A7 amendment where it says delete page 1, line 14, where it says delete the blank appropriation. I'm sorry. Does the new amendment reflect that? I may have a previous version. Okay. So it should say 235. I've got an earlier version of the amendment. Okay.
So, Senator Betzel, you're in agreement with what we have on line 14. Is that correct?
I don't have a copy.
Can we make sure Senator Betzel gets a copy?
Yes. Yes. This is the one we should be dealing with, right?
Okay. And that's the one that's been distributed.
Right.
Okay.
So move the A7 amendment.
All right. We have Senator Betzel's motion. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Betzel.
And Mr. Chair, members, Mr. Lundin is going to go through the spreadsheets. We basically adopted a 3% first year, 3% cut for the second year for the agencies under our area. The governor proposed a heavier cut to the legislative budget. As Mr. Lundin goes through the spreadsheet, I'll be making some comments there. He proposed heavier cuts to the constitutional officers than we had adopted. There's other areas, as I say, as we go through. I'll let Mr. Lundin start going through it, and then I'll be adding comments as he goes through it. So,
okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be talking from the spreadsheet that's titled the change items only. I think there's two different spreadsheets there, one that has the base appropriations and stuff, but I'll be talking from the change items. As Senator Betzel said in the legislature, basically we made a 3% cut to the legislative budgets. We did not include any reduction to the carry forward that the governor had included. Moving down to
Let me comment on that. There will be cuts to the legislative budget. Now, as you look at what's reflected here, it's a little lighter than what the other agencies were proposing to cut. Let me also comment that there's a tactical reason for having it structured the way it is. Last year, when I carried the state government budget bill in conference committee, we had proposed cuts to the Senate budget. And we had suggested proportional cuts to the House of Representatives budget. Of course, that's a different branch within the legislature, and so I have obviously no control over that. When we got to conference committee, the House had adopted in their budget the Senate cuts that we had approved, but they had no cuts to their own budget. And it was a frustrating time in the conference committee because basically they wouldn't not even talk about their budget unless they leveraged something else as part of the negotiations. That is untenable. So right now we are basically proposing just a 3% cut to both bodies of the legislature and the LCC. However, that certainly is going to be adjusted, and there are going to be cuts to certainly the Senate budget as well as the House budget. But I just don't want us to go in a position in conference committee having the cut, being told again well, we're if the Senate wants to cut its budget, that's fine, but we're not going to touch our budget. We're not going to do that.
Senator Betzel, just relative to that, I probably should have asked this earlier. Had that not happened in 2007 as well?
Basically, the House has been had a history of cutting the Senate's budget and not touching theirs. What they did last what they did last year, again, was simply adopt the numbers that we had already had and said, well, okay, we'll concur with the Senate's cuts. And just left it at that. And obviously, it took people at a higher level than the one I work at to try to resolve that, but it made it very difficult in conference committee to have to keep coming back to that issue, saying, you know, okay, we'll adopt the Senate cuts to their own budget.
And actually, maybe that's a point that should be mentioned to all the members that who've not served on state departments, because when I chaired, I don't no longer serve on the division, but when I chaired state departments, or previous to chairing and being a member of the division and on the conference committee, there's a longstanding history of that, coupled with other things coming into conference, like elimination of all the parking spaces by the state capitol. I forget some of the other rider language that has often shown up in the conference committees, but I realize a lot of members on the full committee haven't had the opportunity to review those House provisions.
Mr. Chairman, they could be very creative.
Yeah, Senator Frederickson has experienced those over the years as well.
Mr. Chairman, I was on State Departments in the House in the 80s and thought those were very good ideas.
And, sir, Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, and where is your parking spot?
I walk.
Okay.
How about prior to last year, what did you do? Senator Betzel.
Okay, Mr. Lindeen.
Next on the spreadsheet is moving down to the governor's office. And this here is showing the general fund reduction. The Senate proposal takes a larger cut than in the governor's budget. And also when we get later down into the spreadsheet, the governor also does some interagency agreements to fund the Washington, D.C. office and some of the policy staff in his office. And we have basically, when we've taken that money, which is transferred into a special revenue fund from the agencies and then appropriated to the governor's office. And the governor made a small 3% cut in it. But in this particular bill, we're basically transferring all of those dollars to the general fund.
Mr. Chair.
Chair Betzel.
I've got a handout here I need to. We're taking a heavier cut to the governor's budget. And we've been trying to work, we spent a lot of time the last 2 years on interagency agreements. And those are, it's a good policy where if somebody works for one agency but they are temporarily assigned to another agency, it's good for cross-training, it's good for bringing expertise within the agencies. The governor's office has used those interagency agreements basically to bring people into the administration, but having various agencies, you know, carry those people, and basically it expands the people working for the governor by use of that. Now, that was one of the issues that we worked on. There's another issue that we brought up last week within our budget division, and I'm having passed out appropriate transfer detail report. It says it's an 8-page document. It's basically a bunch of lines from various agencies, and what these are funds being transferred into support service for the governor's office to the tune of $674,500. Now, I'll particularly call to your attention page 6, towards the bottom, Veteran Affairs Department, support our troops. And these are license plates where you can buy, I've got them on my car, you can get your license plates, you can pay $30 or more as a donation. The money is to be split between the Department of Military Affairs, and they use the money to support military families of deployed service members. And the money is to be used by the Department of Veterans Affairs for grant programs for homeless and needy veterans. That is in statute. That is how the money is to be divided for the money for support our troop services. Yet, Mr. Chair and members, the governor's office has taken, last July, took $30,000 out of that account to basically support somebody in the governor's office in veterans outreach programs. Now, an agency bill was jacketed and sent to the Assistant Majority Leader's office. I've got the bill. I've introduced it by request. I don't have any intention of moving on that bill, which basically expands the current law. But this has already been done, despite the fact that the current law decides how the money's being done, and somehow the money's wound up in the governor's office. I think the governor's office, you know, is spending $674,500 that is coming from other sources, and so I don't mind in the least taking a bigger hit to the governor's office.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Betzel, we've had these discussions in several other committees, especially the Veterans Committee, and I don't know too many veterans aren't there that know about this, aren't just hopping mad about having that money that was supposed to go to fund things for veterans going to fund people in the governor's office. It's outrageous. Now, Senator Betzel, as an attorney, I mean, doesn't that violate state law? I mean, there's a statute on the books. And normally when we pass these veterans' license plates, I have the Proud to Be a Veteran plate, and that was to go to fund the World War II Memorial and to help veterans in transition. And this program was set up the same way. Now, isn't that a violation of state law to take that money?
Well, Mr. Chair, it certainly is an issue that the legislative auditor might have an interest in.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just think it's absurd. And, you know, the governor runs around telling everybody that he's cutting all these budgets. And, yeah, he's cutting the budgets, and then he's backdoors, fills in his own department or his own whatever they do down there in the corner, because I don't think he's here again today. I know Friday he's got a fundraiser in Florida. I suppose we could go down there and ask him what's going on. I'm just disgusted with this.
Well, Senator Betzel, Senator Murphy.
Don't leave, Senator Murphy.
I mean, there are two issues. Senator Murphy, you've talked about, Senator Betzel, you've talked about the interagency transfers. That's one issue as to whether or not that augmentation of the governor's direct budget is appropriate. The second part of the issue is whether or not the governor is acting in direct contravention of state statute, as you and Senator Murphy have discussed. And you know, we kid around about the cleverness of the House. You know, when they come into conference committee on the legislative budget, this is a cleverness in the governor's office that's fairly unique.
And well, Mr. Chairman, it says right over there in those red books that money's supposed to be spent for veterans' services, and they were not. Now, so, I don't know I don't know what constitutes a crime around here, but anyway, I got to take.
Well,
I
want to be a little bit careful about going there, but I do think that it calls for some further discussion. So, Senator Betzel has explored this thoroughly in his division, but obviously the full finance committee doesn't serve on Senator Betzel's division, so. At some point, possibly next week or the week after, we'll have a full finance committee hearing. Senator Betzel, if that's okay with you, because it doesn't take it out of your jurisdiction.
Mr. Chair, I have oversight over the office of the governor, but you can look at this document here, and there's money coming out of all different kinds of agencies across many jurisdictions.
And that's why it'd be appropriate for the full committee to look at the issue. Senator Betzel is probably the person most knowledgeable on it, so we'll work with Senator Betzold to put together a hearing where we can try to more fully explore the issue, affected parties, and so on. So, Senator Betzold.
Okay, I'll defer to Mr. Lindian again.
Okay, I'll pick up on line 13 and start with the constitutional officers. The cut to the state auditor, attorney general, and secretary of state was a 3% cut in fiscal year 11. It was a smaller cut than the governor had given. The cut moving down into the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board, once we get down into agencies and boards and commissions and that, basically we took a 4% cut in fiscal year 11, and we did the 3% of unspent funds in 2010. And that's the same for the Office of Enterprise Technology. Then moving down to administrative hearings, same situation there. We did not include anything related to the governor's proposal on transferring the implied consent from the courts.
And Mr. Chair, that's, as we discussed last week, the policy bill is just introduced. There was a proposal to have these is implied consent hearings for people who are losing their driver's licenses for driving under the influence move from the courts to the Office of Administrative Hearings. A net savings overall within the budget, we think, but all we had were line items on spreadsheets. You can't implement policy based upon line items, and since the bill was just introduced, you know, we have no idea if the policy is a good idea or not, so I can't adopt something in a spreadsheet without even knowing what the policy is. So that's why we had to not do this.
Ms. Lundy.
Okay, moving down to line 26 under the Department of Administration, there was the same 3% and 4% cut each fiscal year. And then the Self-Advocacy Network grant, which is a disabilities grant, the Senate did eliminate that in the bill. The governor had just taken a small cut.
And Mr. Chair, although this was difficult to do, this is not the only source of funding. These are advocacy grants for the disabled. However, this is a very small grant under the Department of Administration compared to the other grants that they get from, I think, through DEED and I think possibly through Human Services. They get money from other sources. This is just not the only one.
Okay, and then carrying on the CAP board, that was the same 3% and 4%. Minnesota Management and Budget, the same 3% and 4%. Line 36 under the contingent account, we took the governor's proposal for the contingency for the federal stimulus money. This was set aside last year to match any federal money, and apparently there was no need for it. So the $750,000 is just being returned to the general fund. Next, we move down to the Department of Revenue and the operating budget cut. This is only in the compliance support area. With this agency's department, one-third of the budget is compliance support and two-thirds is the actual related to tax compliance. And so we took a larger cut than the governor did there to that portion of the operating budget. And we also included the tax compliance that the governor had recommended, and that's a 4-to-1 return. So basically we're making an appropriation of $6.7 million, and then later on the spreadsheet you'll see there will be a net general fund revenue impact of a little over $20 million going into the general fund.
And Mr. Chair, this was proposed by the administration. This is where they hire people to go out and try to collect unpaid taxes. Used to be if you spend $1, you get 10. Now we've been down to $1, you spend 4. I think it's questionable whether or not there is that much more to be squeezed out of the system, but the administration believes it to be so. So you can see the expenditure on line 40 to pay for the tax compliance officers, and jumping ahead to line 62, that's the revenue that we expect to come in. Now the amendment, the A7 amendment we adopted, of course, takes a little bit of that money to actually train some of these individuals. As I indicated earlier, we had some testimony from some CPAs that some of these individuals that are hired may not be fully up to speed, and they start trying to collect taxes that may not be owed, and it results in appeals. And so we just felt that, you know, we need to do a better job of training them. So that's part of what the appropriation that we have is for.
Okay, moving down to line 43, we have the Amateur Sports Commission. That was the 3% and 4% cut, the same for the Council on Black Minnesotans. Moving to page 2, the same is true for the other councils there. And then the governor had a proposal in his bill for a 3% operating reduction that was kind of all together in a $9 million that was going to be allocated among state agencies and finding efficiencies using technology and various things. And that we did not include in this bill. And then if I look down at the general fund revenue changes, there were a couple items. The Department of Administration was transferring some contributed capital. This was a general fund appropriation that was made when the central stores was set up. I believe it was back in 1979, and they're kind of closing up the central stores and kind of taking a different approach with supplies, and so basically they're making a one-time transfer of the $209,000. And then the next line is also a number of transfers from some special revenue funds in the Department of Administration, And if you look in the bill, there are some riders related to this. One is the commuter van program. It's a little less than $2,000 that's being transferred. This is a program that has been discontinued in the Department of Administration. I understand something has been worked out where the Met Council had taken it over. There's a little less than $4,000 coming out of an archaeology burial account related to some book sales a number of years ago. And then there's also coming out of a utility rebate account, it's about $1,492. And that was part of the 3% cut that the governor did to all of the other special revenue funds, which we've talked about and seen throughout the bill. So that encompasses the whole $7,000 that's coming forward. In this bill, we did not do the transfer from the gambling control board into the general fund like the governor did. And he also made a reduction to a problem gambling grant that comes out of the lottery prize fund. We did not include that production or that reduction in here. Line 58 is the governor's office, the transfer from the special revenue. That was the item that we did have some discussion about earlier. The lottery new game, this was a $5 million new revenue that the governor had in his bill, but once the forecast came out last week, this was actually included within the forecast, so it wasn't new revenue that we could track here. And then moving down to Minnesota Management and Budget, another transfer from the special revenue account, and this is coming from two different revolving accounts in the department. One is the 3% reduction to an internal information technology account, and there's a rider in the bill. It's $8,700 in fiscal year 10 and $10,700 in fiscal year 11. And then the other part of that transfer is coming from the combined charities, and that's a transfer of $300 a year. And it's basically the money in there comes from the charities. They pay a registration fee to take part in the combined charities campaign. And then moving down on line 61.
If I could back up, the gambling control board, a few years ago, I think it was 05, charitable gambling entities agreed to pay an increased fee to the gambling control board, basically so that the gambling control board could hire two more auditors. They did so reluctantly. The governor proposed to basically take those fees and move it over into the one time into the general fund. We did not adopt that.
Okay, and then the next item is with the Racing Commission, which was a similar as what was going on with the gambling control, taking special revenue fee money that supports the Racing Commission's operating budget and transferring that to the general fund. That is not included in this bill either. And then the last item is the additional tax compliance. That's the entire $26.8 million that's offset by the $6.7 appropriation. That's where we get the net of the $20.1 million. And that kind of sums up everything going on with the general fund. Down below, it's just kind of, I've just kind of aggregated the special revenue fund transfers that were coming from admin and MMB. And then with the amendment that we adopted, the A7 amendment, those healthcare access fund reductions are no longer in the bill.
Okay, further questions for Senator Betzholder, Mr. Lundeen, Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Betzholder, Mr. Lundeen, you mentioned something about a utility rebates. Can you explain what that is?
It's basically when new buildings are built or they're doing some retrofits, they can get these rebates back from utility companies or whatever. And my understanding is a lot of times for individual agencies to do it, they felt it was too much of a hassle to do. So the Department of Administration would actually do that on behalf of agencies and get the rebate, and it would be in this fund. And what the cut represents is the 3% cut that the governor made to all the non-general fund accounts. So the program's still there. There's still money in the program, but it's a slight reduction.
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Lundeen, the cut is not actually to the state appropriation that funds the energy retrofits. It's to the rebate from the utilities?
It's through the special revenue account. They have some operating dollars in there that are set aside. So I think part of it's made up from that, but.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I guess, I mean, we funded through my division a program that allows agencies to do energy efficiency retrofits. That it's a revolving fund, and it's called the PBEEP program. Is this what we're talking about? I just want to know if you're actually cutting that program or the rebate money. Could you get me some more information about that?
I can get you some additional information.
Okay. Further questions for Senator Betzold? Questions, amendments?
Mr. Chair, as per Article 11, that would take care of Article 11. There's still another issue hanging out there because it crosses jurisdictional lines. But when we're talking about the area that within the jurisdiction of state government budget, that completes that part. So I'd like to move Article 11.
Do you want to move Article? I know. I think Senator Pappas had a amendment.
No, but
you want to move the article first?
Right. Senator Pappas has an issue of dealing with a completely different article. So.
12.
Yep. Okay. So we have Senator Betzold's motion on Article 11. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, I have the A9 amendment.
And that does not directly deal with mine, so I'll.
Members, we have a couple of amendments that are not out of place, but because then I want to go to Senator Anderson, who has a follow-up on her article. So, but Senator Pappas?
Mr. Chairman, this is kind of a share the pain article, which would reduce top administrators in government instead of, we tend to reduce from the bottom the direct service providers, and I think it's important for us to also consider that we might be a little top-heavy in state government. So it still is allowing each agency to have one deputy commissioner, but it eliminates all assistant commissioners and all second deputies, and probably some other political appointees as well.
Okay, we're having the amendment distributed. We're kind of top-heavy on this side of the table, so does everybody have it? Okay. Let's make sure that's distributed so people can glance at it. Okay. All right, Senator Pappas, anything else you wish to say?
No, Mr. Chairman, I think it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, I think we've seen this amendment before multiple times in previous years, similar to amendments that we've, provisions that have been in this bill before.
Senator Ferguson, similar.
Mr. Chairman, it saves the general fund $4.85 million, and then it also saves money in a variety of other funds.
Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, I support this concept. I'm just looking at the page one where it's taking money out of the Game and Fish Fund and the Water Recreation account rather than out of the general fund. That's what it looks like. Am I reading that correctly?
I don't think you're reading it. Mr. Mossman.
Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, on the front page here, it shows the savings, expenditure reductions in the other funds, but it doesn't take money out of the other funds. The savings would accrue and remain within these funds. So any resources there are in the funds shown on the front page would remain in those funds for the purposes for which those funds are appropriated.
I don't understand that. I'm sorry, I'm not following. There's savings in the fund.
In other words, there's positions that are referred to in Article 12 that would be eliminated that are funded in part or whole from these funds. If those positions no longer exist, then there would be savings by virtue of the fact that they're not funded from those funds, but no money would come out of those funds.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion? Okay, if not, Senator Berglund?
Can I just ask a question about the Department of Health? This is coming out of the Special Revenue Fund.
Mr. Mossman?
The Special Revenue Fund is paid for by fees of licensees, and I believe this is an area where reductions have been made in the governor's budget also. I'm just trying to figure out if there's a conflict here.
Again, Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, similar to the response to Senator Anderson, What you see here is that there would be savings in the special revenue fund related to the elimination of a position in the Department of Health. The position that is proposed to be eliminated here is funded either in whole or in part from this special revenue account. So if you eliminate the position, there's savings in the special revenue account, but excuse me, no money comes out of the special revenue account. The savings just accrues to the special revenue fund. So any fees that are collected would remain in that fund, either to be used for that fund or for that same purposes they are currently being used for, the same program purposes.
So, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mossman, it would leave a balance in the special revenue fund?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, that's correct.
And Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mossman, in the Department of Health, is there any general fund savings? Because I don't...
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, it does not appear to be the case, no. Not for the Department of Health.
I might just suggest as we go along here, somebody might want to look at whether that really makes any sense.
I'll look at it.
I'll look at it, Senator Berglund. Make sure it makes sense.
Senator Ferguson.
Raise Senator Berglund's concern also the same thing with the Game and Fish Fund and the Water Recreation Fund. Those are
but I think Mr. Mossman indicated those are, there's some general fund appropriations as well, I believe.
Mr. Chairman, in Game and Fish, there is no general fund appropriation.
Am I mistaken on that?
And, Mr. Chair, Senator Frederickson, I'm sorry. Can you please repeat your question?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mossman, I was talking about the Game and Fish Fund and the Water Recreation Fund, and there are no general fund appropriations to Game and Fish. Those activities are funded entirely from the Game and Fish Fund.
Mr. Chair and Senator Frederickson, and I think this is the same question. So let me actually just try and walk through the concept again. If you look at page one of the bill, you can see that as a whole, overall, based on the positions that are being proposed to be eliminated here, there are savings from among all funds of $8 million. But of that amount, positions that are in the general fund only save $4.85 million. So the only improvement that would be occurring as a result of this amendment to the general fund, the only savings would be $4.85 million. There are positions that are proposed to be eliminated that are currently being funded from other funds, including the Game and Fish Fund. And so if those positions are eliminated, there would be the savings to the Game and Fish Fund that's shown on this front page. It is not a general fund appropriation. It's Game and Fish Fund resources that are being used to fund the position, and those funds would no longer be spent from the Game and Fish Fund for that position.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, there's two purposes with my amendment. One, it does help the general fund, so it does help address our deficit problem by $4.85 million. But also, I believe that we've become too top-heavy in government and that it would be advantageous to flatten out. We're creating a new paradigm here, a new normal, where we can't afford to have all these high-paid top administrators, and yet we still want the services delivered. So I would maintain that the top administration has to become more efficient and maybe delegate more to their managers, lower-level managers, and not have all these top administrators being in charge.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Frederickson, it also may help to look at page 2 under the Department of Natural Resources, starting on line 2.19. You see those reductions from the general fund, Game and Fish, and so forth. And you notice water recreation, that's only a $15,000 reduction. You take a look at the positions that are abolished on lines 26 to 28, and you see there are three assistant commissioners and one executive aide. And you compare the four positions with those dollar amounts, and what you see is there's at least one assistant commissioner who's paid in part from the Water Recreation Fund, and some other assistant commissioner who's paid at least in part from the Game and Fish Fund. So that's why we are cutting these amounts from these other funds, because these individuals are funded either in whole or in part from these funds in addition to the general fund. Another little bit of confusion, I think, with this particular article and this particular amendment is that it's so different from what's happening with these special revenue funds in other parts of the bill. In most of the other parts of the bill, the reductions are made in special revenue fund appropriations or monies taken from special revenue fund balances and transferred to the general fund so that they serve as income to the general fund. That's not what's happening here. This is just a straight old cut in expenses to these other funds. So as Mr. Mossman has said, instead of this money being transferred out of these funds and serving to balance the general fund, this is money that would be left into the in these funds and used for other purposes. So it's lightening the burden on these non-general funds rather than taking the money away from them. So it's different from what's happening in most of the rest of the bill.
Mr. Chair, I understand. It looks confusing because it's in parentheses. It looks like it's a cut to those funds. So I think that's what got us all alarmed.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Mossman.
And Senator Anderson, if I could kind of elaborate on one more point. I think the other distinction here is that in many cases the general fund appropriation that is being there's a difference between direct appropriations and statutory appropriations. And most of these non-general fund areas are statutory appropriations so that the revenues that come into the funds are statutorily appropriate, openly appropriated to be spent for the purposes of the fund. So what in other cases, in most of the general fund appropriations, for example, there's a direct general line item appropriation in a bill, and that direct appropriation is being reduced. For some of these non-general funds where there are statutory appropriations, in effect, what the impact of these numbers you see in parentheses will be is that this will show that there will be a spending reduction in the sense that the money won't be spent on these positions, but the statutory appropriation remains. So the statutory authority in these funds, like the Game and Fish Fund or our special revenue account, remains so that the savings from here is still appropriated and available to be spent for the purposes of the fund. It just wouldn't be spent on this position. And that would be true of the Game and Fish Fund, the special revenue account, any funds.
Further discussion on Senator Berglund?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just think if we were going to be doing this a little bit more carefully, there probably are positions in the Department of Health that are general fund funded that could be eliminated rather than just sort of this general across the board approach. And I would think that would meet the goal better than what we're doing in this amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to be on record of opposing the reduction in Game and Fish and Water Rec, so I'd like to request, I'm requesting a roll call vote.
Okay. All right. We have the motion on of Senator Pappas on the A9 amendment request by Senator Fredrickson for roll call vote. Clerk will take the roll. Chairman votes yes. First time the clerk's done this. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, while we're waiting for them to be ready, maybe they're ready, I just want to reiterate that this is not a cut to the Game and Fish and Water Recreation Fund. This is an elimination of a position or positions. Therefore, it leaves the money available for other usages in the fund.
Mr. Chairman, and I understand the effect of this. I understand the money.
All right. Again, if we're ready on the roll call, Chairman votes yes.
Anderson.
Yes.
Berglund.
Yes.
Betzold.
Yes.
Dill. Fischbach.
No.
Foley. Fredrickson.
No.
Higgins. Metzen.
Yes.
Murphy. Olson. Pappas.
Yes.
Parisot. Roebling. Sunjum. Stumpf. Tomasoni.
Yes.
Fickerman. Uyghur.
Look at the other side.
So by a vote of 8-2, the amendment carries. I'm not sure what we did the other side of the table.
Mr. Chairman, how many members do we need for a quorum?
A quorum was present. We need 11, and we had, I think at one point, maybe I could ask the clerk.
Mr. Chair, there were 15 members present.
Right, so the quorum has been present. All right. If we can, so the amendment is adopted to the bill. If we can revert back, Senator Anderson, to your bill for a second, or your article.
Yeah, and that's Article 3, I believe. Yes. Yes, that's Environment and Natural Resources, Article 3. And, Mr. Chair, I have just an oral amendment on page 23. I wanted to, well, this relates to the PILT cut, and apparently there's a little bit of help on this cut. And so what I'd like to do on page 23, lines 9 and lines 27, to change 94% to 96%, which means that the proration basically would be reduced or increased. So the cut would be decreased.
And your cut then would be approximately, your cut to PILT would be decreased by about $400,000?
Correct.
And in terms of the target that's established for this bill, that would be within the target for the bill?
Correct. That's my understanding. And the appropriations numbers in the bill and spreadsheet would need to be adjusted to reflect that. But I don't, that could be done by staff later.
Any further discussion on Senator Anderson's amendment? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Why don't we try? Well, Senator Murphy keeps on going in and out. But, so, Senator Higgins. And this is the public safety section of the bill, Article 9 on page 47.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could we have the A11 amendment passed out, please? We have Article 9 starting on page 47. We were given a target of $42,150,000 to cut from our division. We put our cuts one-third in the 2010 year and two-thirds in 2011. So that worked out to a 2.1 cut in 2010 and a 4.2 cut in 2011. We have a significantly higher cut than the governor did, more than $24 million more than the governor. We spent money in two places. There was a request in the Department of Homeland Security Emergency Management for disaster assistance payments from the Red River flood from 2009. So we appropriated $1.6 million there. The other place where we appropriated money was to the fire safety account. And we'll talk about that later. If everyone has the A11 amendment, I would like to add on to the A11 amendment to delete sections 9, 10, and 12. So, Mr. Chair, this amendment does two things with the addition of that addition. In many places in last year's bill, we limited where the reductions in various departments could go. For example, in
Office of Justice programs, we stated that there could be no more than a 3% cut to several different types of programs that are funded through there. And the question arose whether those limitations stay through this new bill or whether this new bill is going to stand alone, because we have some limitations like that in this bill. So this amendment would say that the limitations that were made last year do not apply to the reductions in this bill. Then the oral addition to this, I had tried to sneak a piece of policy into the finance bill, and deleting these three sections will eliminate that little piece of policy. I was trying to outwit somebody and got caught. So I'd like your support to adopt the A11 amendment.
All right. Well stated, Senator Higgins.
Live presentation.
Pardon?
Mr. Chair, there's one more piece on the A11 amendment that I just blew right by, the last line, line 14. The transfers to the general fund, is that the ones? The transfers into the general fund from the Department of Corrections, Min Corps, and the special revenue accounts, we state that they're one-time transfers. Now I'm ready.
All right, we have Senator Higgins' A11 amendment. Is there further discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I think we'll have Mr. Turner go through the spreadsheet. I know Senator Murphy has an amendment, but I don't see him. So at this point, we'll start talking about the bill, and he'll magically appear at some point.
Mr. Turner.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'll be comparing the governor's recommendations to the Senate recommendations. As Senator Higgins pointed out, the governor's reduction target was $17.8 million. And the Senate has a $42,150,000 reduction target. I'll start on line 4 of the spreadsheet. The governor recommended $1.6 million in disaster relief, the state match for the Red River flood of 2009. The Senate concurs with that recommendation. Line 5, in addition, in Homeland Security and Emergency Management, the Senate recommends an operating reduction of $40,000 the first year, $80,000 the second, for a total of $120,000. Moving down to line 11 in the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the governor recommended $200,000 for the predatory offender registration infrastructure. The Senate did not fund that provision. On line 12, however, the Senate recommended a $2,584,000 operating budget to the BCA's budget. Moving down to line 18, the fire marshal. The Senate recommends $2 million and a $2 million appropriation for firefighter training, hazmat, and chemical assessment team grants. Gambling and alcohol enforcement on line 24. The Senate recommends a reduction, an operating reduction of $34,000 the first year and $68,000 the second, for a total of $102,000. In the Office of Justice Programs, the Senate recommends a cut of $731,000 the first year, $1,483,000 the second, total of $2.2 million. The Office of Justice Programs, those are community. By and large, they're community grant programs that will be reduced. Move on to the post board, line 40. The chairman recommends an $84,000 cut in the first year and $168,000 in the second, for a total reduction of $252,000. Line 46, the private detective board, $3,000 the first year, $5,000 the second, is the governor's recommendation. The governor's rec is $2,000 and $3,000 for a total of $5,000, and the Senate is $3,000, $5,000 for a total of $8,000. On human rights, the governor recommended a budget reduction of $59,000 the first and $103,000 the second, total of $162,000 reduction. The Senate recommendation is 71 the first, 144 the second, for a total of $215,000. Excuse me. Moving on to corrections, the governor recommended two cuts on line 59 in correctional juvenile education, adult vocational education, and certain correctional library hours. The recommended cut is $308,000 the first year, $615,000 the second, for a total of $923,000. Sorry. And then he, in addition, there's a general operating reduction of $1.6 million within DOC institutions. The Senate did not concur with the juvenile ed, adult voc ed, or library hours. However, it made a general operating reduction of $6,518,000 the first year and $13,252,000 the second, for a total reduction to corrections institutions of $19,770,000. In community services within corrections, the governor recommended eliminating the sentence to serve program. That would save $4,596,000. And in addition, recommended, thank you, Senator, the cut of reentry grants and one administrative position for a total of $240,000. The Senate was silent on specific cuts. In fact, I'll get to it later when we quickly go through the bill. The Senate protects the sentence to serve program, but it does have a general operating reduction to community services of $2,331,000 the first year, $4,732,000 the second, for a total to community services of approximately $7.1 million. Finally, with corrections on line 74, the governor did not recommend a reduction to operations support. The Senate recommends $435,000 the first year, $884,000 the second, for a total of $1,319,000 to operations support. Moving on to page two quickly, we have the sentencing guidelines. The governor recommended a operating reduction of $8,000 the first and $18,000 the second, for a total of $29,000. The Senate's recommendation is $12,000 the first, $25,000 the second, for a total of $37,000. Then we move into the total section of the spreadsheet. That's there for the purposes of putting together the bill. I'll point out the revenue adjustments, however. On line 92, the governor recommended a general fund transfer into the Minnesota Corrections Industries Revolving Fund of $1,563,000. The Senate concurred with that recommendation. Line 93, the governor recommended a general fund transfer from the special revenue accounts within the special revenue fund in the Department of Corrections. And the total of those many savings from a number of accounts, which we will specify at a later date, is $603,000 for the biennium. The Senate concurred with that recommendation. On line 96, there's a general fund transfer, a transfer into the general fund from the fire safety account. The governor recommended 6.9 the first and 3 million the second, for a total of 9.9 million. The Senate recommendation is 6.9 million the first and 1 million the second. Now I would like to point out on lines 96 and 97, 97 is a statutory correction from the 2009 bill. The totals were correct last year, but when we put together the bill, we slighted the general fund transfer by $100,000, and that money was listed in the bill as firefighter training grants. It was a revisor's bill correction, but since we're amending this part of the bill, we're including that within the bill here. And so if you look at the transfers, the first year, the transfer is $7 million. Minus $100,000 from the revisor's correction, So the Senate total is 6.9 the first year and 1 million the second. And then finally, we have the post-board adjustment to the general fund. Every time we spend or reduce, spend more money or reduce money from the post-board budget, it, even though it's special revenue, it affects the general fund transfer. Mr. Chairman and members, that's it for the spreadsheet. There are a few riders within the bill that I'd like to note.
Mr. Turner, before you do that, I just want to make sure. Obviously, the dollar amounts, and it's not that this isn't a difficult article to put together, although all the articles are difficult. But in terms of, you talked about some of the dollar figures, but I think your percentage cuts, Senator Higgins, are what, 3%?
2.1% the first year and 4.2% the second year. Is it still there?
So, actually, many, lower percentages than many of the other articles as presented by other division chairmen, at least in terms of percentage cuts to the general fund appropriations within a particular division. So, I know, Mr. Turner, Senator Higgins, did you want to continue?
Should we do Murphy's amendment?
I think I'll point out real quickly.
Okay, let's point out the riders, and then we'll continue.
Mr. Chairman and members, the bill reflects the spreadsheet with these exceptions. Section 1 is a statement of intent. It provides that the budget reductions in the article are not intended to impair the ability of local units of government to provide sufficient police and fire protection.
Mr. Chair, what page is this on?
That's page 47.
47. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. 47:19-22. The next rider of note is Section 4, Subdivision 4, which breaks out the appropriation to the fire marshal from the fire safety account. We appropriate $2 million, and it's broken out as follows. $1,360,000 for firefighter training grants, $294,000 for Task Force 1 training, $136,000 for decontamination trailer program, $125,000 for chemical assessment team training, and $85,000 for shared firefighting services grants.
Chairman.
Sir Minson.
Yeah, on the transfer out of the fire marshal account, is this it's a couple million dollars, is that correct, totally, or a little more?
Mr. Chairman, Senator
Metzen. Is this the money, Mr. Chairman, members, that's assessed on insurance policies to, so we're effectively taking the money. There again, we have to balance the budget, and I understand that, but it was set aside for training and equipment and other issues, and that's an assessment on every one of our homeowners' policy. But I guess just another example of how tough times are in another fund we're raiding, so to speak, because it was set aside for, and we all know that, but I think it's good to bring it out again.
Although, to be fair, I think, Senator Higgins, you and Senator Murphy have worked on a later amendment.
Yep, Senator Murphy has an amendment that you'll appreciate probably. But, Mr. Chair and Senator Metzen, the governor recommended taking $9.9 million.
Really?
Out of this account, and we didn't accept that. We took 7.9, which is, you know, still a boatload, but we did put $2 million toward the training, and then some.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for minimizing at least the hit here that the governor was recommending. I mean, firefighters were just up last week, and they've all got stories to tell.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, we know that. Especially in the small fire departments, this is the only training money that they have.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Sir Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, since we're talking about that, you want to just put that amendment on right now?
Well, why don't we let Sir Higgins, Mr. Chairman, finish presenting the bill, and then.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members, very quickly, there's three riders that of note. Section 4, Subdivision 6, Office of Justice Programs.
The bill states that no portion of the reduction may come from grants to youth intervention programs, domestic violence programs, or sexual violence programs. Then in Section 7, Subdivision 1, the reduction to the Department of Corrections, the bill prohibits any portion of the reduction to come from offender reentry programs or discharge planning for mentally ill offenders. And finally, as I mentioned earlier, Section 7, Subdivision 3, the Community Services Division, the bill states that no portion of the reduction may come from sentencing to service programs. Then to finish off the summary, Sections 9, 10, and 12 have been deleted by amendment. And finally, we have Section 15, which delays the date that certain proposed changes to the sentencing guidelines made by the Commission take effect. Without legislative action, those changes would have taken effect August 1, 2010. The bill delays the effect of those changes by 1 year to August 1, 2011.
Okay. Questions on the bill itself?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, could you give us some feel for the cut to the corrections portion of this budget? There's a $26.5 million reduction to corrections, which is the largest reduction dollar-wise. I realize it's probably the same percent, but what's the effect going to be of that reduction?
Mr. Chair and Senator Frederickson, this will be very difficult for the Department of Corrections to meet on top of the cut that they had last year. If you'll remember, we had a task force that looked at the department's finances, how, you know, they were looking for any savings that they possibly could do during the year, and their report back to us showed that there isn't much fluff in this budget. And I don't know if the commissioner is here. I know we talked yesterday, and she's very concerned about whether they would in any way be able to do this cut.
Well, I think, to be fair, the percentage cut is actually lower than, again, most of the other cuts to the other agencies throughout this bill.
It's just that it's a big account.
Yes. Further questions? Sir Murphy, did... Mr. Chair? Sir Higgins?
Assistant Commissioner David Christ is here from Corrections, if at some point you want to hear from him.
Okay, do members... We normally wouldn't take testimony. Do members want to hear from Commissioner Christ, or... Okay. Sir Murphy? Okay.
It's the A-12.
Okay, the A-12 amendment.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Watson?
As the amendment is going around, Senator Murphy's part of the amendment is actually not in the amendment. It would be an oral amendment.
Really?
The change to... The change to the Metropolitan Council Transit. Yeah. So that part would be added. If you've got the amendment now, before line 2, insert page 43, line 15, delete in parentheses $6,500,000, and insert in parentheses $9,500,000.
And Mr. Chairman, I would incorporate that as part of the A-12 recommendation.
Senator Higgins?
And Mr. Chair, what this does is moves $3 million from Senator Murphy's division, as Mr. Watson just stated, and it puts it in two places, regardless of how many lines are on the budget. It puts $2.4 million in the fire safety area. And the other place that it puts it is in the post-board reimbursements for peace officer training. And I can have Mr. Turner give you greater detail on that.
Mr. Chairman,
members, Senator Higgins is correct. What the amendment does is reduces our reduction target from $42 million to $150,000 to $39 million. Take the $3 million for Metro Transit, put it into this bill. Of that $3 million, $2.4 million goes to the fire marshal to fund firefighter training. That would bring up the appropriation to the fire marshal for training to $4.4 million, which was the amount requested in Senator Rest Bill, Senate File 2502. That's reflected in lines 1.2 to 1.7. 1.8 to 1.13 makes the necessary language in the general fund transfer from the fire safety account to accomplish that. And then finally, lines 1.14 to 1.21 is the necessary language to take an additional $600,000 and restore the $250,000 cut that the bill makes to the post board, and then increase grants for police training by $380,000 for a total of $600,000. So you've got $2.4 million for firefighter training and $600,000 for police training, and that's the amendment.
And Senator Murphy, as I understand it, these are from MVEST monies that are in effect surplus monies. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. And Mr. Mossman has a line that he'd like to add here for us so that it's very clear that this is not an ongoing cut.
Mr. Chairman, if on line 43.19 after the period you insert a sentence that says $3 million of this reduction is one time.
Okay. We have the A-12 amendment in front of us. Now, Senator Higgins, as I understand it, this brings the fire safety account to the desired amount.
Yes.
That's what's been requested by the folks involved with the account.
Mr. Chair, it does indeed.
Okay. All right, so...
Of course, they would prefer the whole $9.9 million back, but this is the request that they had in Senator Rest's bill. So we're considering that the amount that they are requesting.
Okay. All right. On Senator Murphy's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, that's it. It's an aggressive cut, we'll say that.
Yeah. As the article. Senator Fredrickson.
Chairman, I'd like a roll call vote on this article also.
Okay. So we have Senator Higgins. Have you made the motion to
adopt? So moved.
Okay. Senator Higgins has made the motion to adopt Article
9.
Article 9 of the bill. Request for roll call. Oh, Senator Rowland?
I apologize for just getting here, but the Education Committee is having a fascinating discussion over there, and I had to stay.
So are we.
And I'm sure you were. I just want to express some concern about the deep cuts and the corrections. I have the Shakopee Women's Prison in my district, and I recently was visiting with the warden, and she was talking about how the cuts from the previous years have affected their system, and the concern about the threat to other inmates and staff as we need to cut back on staffing in the prisons because of budget cuts. And I share that concern that we may be causing a bigger problem, that we may be having issues occurring in cell blocks. Inmates know, and there's not enough people around to control a situation. And I would hate to see a prison riot or some sort of a takeover like we've heard about in some other states that I don't think we've ever had here. But it may be because we have properly staff those facilities. And so I know how hard it is to find the funding for that, but I keep going back to the issue of what is our constitutional obligations, and one of them is public safety. And to see the biggest cut of all the budgets that we're looking at for this bill coming out of corrections is difficult.
Well, Senator Roebling, a couple things, if I might. Number one, the biggest cuts are not coming out of this
Percent of cuts.
Pardon?
Percent?
No, no. No, the percent is less than any place else. The dollar amounts are greater because at least within what we call the, quote, smaller divisions, it's the largest division in terms of general fund dollars. Now, Health and Human Services is not in this bill. K-12 is not in this bill. Those are the largest divisions, obviously, as you well know. After that, higher education and public safety are the next largest divisions. You have less of a cut, to be fair, coming from higher education because the maintenance of effort statutory mandates from the federal government. So, and you serve on that division, you obviously understand that. So we can't take any more from higher ed. The next division is this division. The percentage cuts, as we've listened, and you've and I'm sorry for the duplication of meetings, you were certainly present, I think, for the entirety of Monday's hearing. And if you listened to those division chairmen, and if you'd had the opportunity, I'm not blaming you, obviously, again, because of the duplication, but this morning if you listened to Senators Tomassoni, Senator Betzold, who else did we have? I think those are the two new divisions we've presented up to this point. The percentage cuts in those divisions to agencies are larger, and in some cases significantly larger, than the percentage cuts made to this division. The second thing I would suggest is we can talk about public safety in a couple of different ways. And one of the problems we have in all the committees in the legislature is, I will suggest, lack of context. And what I mean by that is that the public safety budgets present themselves in different fashions throughout this body. I would argue the real public safety in terms of what affects you and me and our constituencies would be found in the tax committee relative to the LGA payments. And what's going to happen with this bill, what the intent is that I will ask that, you know, if the committee wants to pass this bill, that there be a motion to refer the bill to the tax committee. And the intent then is to take what Senator Bach's working on by way of aids and credit cuts and add it to this bill so that we will have a target figure of somewhere around $313 million. What I will tell you is, from working with Senator Bach, is that he has been over backwards to stay away from LGA. That's in contrast to the administration's proposal, which cuts approximately $250 million from LGA. I don't know about your communities. I can tell you in terms of my community and Senator Pappas's community, the city of St. Paul, because that's when we're more conversant with the local budget, that the LGA monies go primarily to a couple things, police and fire. And when you cut $250 million on top of all the other LGA cuts, you are affecting the direct public safety of my constituents more so than the cuts presented in Senator Higgins' recommendations. Now, again, I realize there's some disagreement relative to LGA within the body. You know, there's some cities, and obviously the urban cities have been able to recognize more LGA appropriations. You get into some of the higher property tax areas, which are better able to provide, which tend to have, you know, less crime and a more higher socioeconomic basis. But I'll suggest, and I don't presume to be the expert on rural Minnesota, but I think for the cities, whether large or small in the state, that need and realize the LGA revenue, that's what public safety is all about. So it's not to suggest that the cuts in this division are not difficult cuts, but if we want to talk public safety, let's talk public safety throughout the totality of the state budget and state government. Senator Oberlin.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen, or Senator Cohen. Well, I know what my district has concerns about, and quite frankly, my cities don't get any LGA, and yet we do have we have a prison in our community in Shakopee that holds offenders of all levels. And I will remind you that there is no fence around that prison, and it's been requested year after year after year, and it's still not there. And there's nothing in this current bonding bill for it, and I continue to be concerned that as if staffing is reduced, as those inmates move between buildings, we will only have more problems as they become more and more aware that there is less staff to contain them. And so, you know, it's a big public safety issue for me.
Well, and Senator Roebling, I'm not suggesting that it's not a legitimate issue. I'm just offering some context. Let me ask the particular question, though, relative to offense, because I know at Shakopee there isn't offense, and there's been a request. Part of the governor's bonding bill requested additional fencing security for, I think, Oak Park Heights. Was there a request from the governor for Shakopee this year in the bonding bill?
Mr. Chair, there was not. 4 years ago, he put in over $5 million for the fence. 2 years ago, he put in planning money for the fence. Mm-hmm. Both times, those requests were denied by the legislature. And this time, he didn't put in any. So there we are. But, I mean, the need really hasn't vanished, and it will only grow greater. Certainly, we haven't had any incidents yet that have, you know, traumatized the community. But the need will grow greater as we cut staff.
Okay. That may or may not be unfair, Senator Roebling, but then I would suggest, in terms of the presentation of an initial bonding bill, if we're at fault for not inclusion of a fence for Shakopee in a Senate bonding bill, the governor is equally at fault for not presenting that request to legislation in the first place. Sir Murphy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, also, you know, you brought up the point that the governor did recommend a fence that where a fence was not needed, was not even asked for. So I don't get it. And Senator Roebling, I understand where you're coming from. And I do believe that you've got a serious issue at Shakopee. But once again, your earlier comment that we're constitutionally mandated to provide public safety, it doesn't say that in the Constitution. It says education, transportation. That's it. All this other stuff is stuff that we need to do, but it's not constitutionally required. at the same time that, you know, we can't get a fence for a facility like Shakopee that absolutely needs a fence, the governor, in his wisdom, proposed a fence where one's not needed and a sexual predator palace that is not needed. That's going to encumber the state billions and billions of dollars of future cost, needless future cost. Now, if that comes back in the bonding bill again, I would hope that the Senate would remain firm and say no and at least put the money in to give Senator Roebling the fence and the security to her people down there, because this sexual predator program has gotten out of hand, and it's just going to cost us way too much in the long run. And people are worried now that we double bunk sexual predators. You know what? I don't care. Put 20 of them in a room. It wouldn't bother me at all, Senator Cohen. I know that that's inhumane and unusual treatment. But you know what? They did something unusual and inhumane to get there. And maybe in your last vestiges of political career, because I'll never be able to get elected again.
Nor try,
exactly. But the money that we're spending on these prisoners is ridiculous. We have to remember they violated those red books over there. They belong in jail.
Okay. All right, we have Senator Higgins' motion in front of us, a request for... Did somebody else, Senator Berglund, did I miss you?
Ma'am Chair and Senator Roebling, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, this isn't the only area of the budget that's having a hard time. You know, I'm sure there's people in your community that are concerned about having your group homes lose enough staff that they won't be able to meet licensing requirements. Under the governor's budget, there are 26 state-owned facilities that are on a watch list for possibly closing because of the governor's budget.
Yeah, but do we add?
And on top of that, 200 positions are being eliminated in state-operated services that take care of people who have been committed to the state as dangerous. So, you know, maybe we're at the point where we shouldn't be making any more cuts, but I don't think that's an option.
Okay. We have Senator Higgins' motion, request for a roll call. Clerk is prepared. Chairman votes yes.
Anderson? Berglund?
Yes.
Betzold?
Yes.
Dill? Fishbach? Foley? Fredrickson?
No.
Higgins?
Yes.
Metzen? Murphy?
Aye.
Olson? Pappas?
Yes.
Pariseau?
No.
Roebling?
No.
Senjum? Stump? Tomasoni?
Yes.
Bickerman?
Yes.
Uyghur?
Okay, on a vote of 8-3, the motion to adopt the article is adopted. Thank you very much, Senator Higgins. And last but not least, Senator Murphy. And this is probably the smallest transportation, Article 8, page 41, Senator Murphy.
I was just checking with my political consultant here to make sure that I'm unelectable now. So
you sell yourself short, but
Mr. Chairman, every now and again you got to laugh at yourself, right? And especially if you're Irish and you got a big mouth, you really have to have a good sense of humor.
Okay, Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, and speaking of senses of humor, I think that over the next couple of years, if the folks around this table don't have a good sense of humor, you're not going to make it. I feel for you having to come back next year. Looking at this budget today, Mr. Chairman, it's just it's a crying shame that our state has degraded to this point. But the transportation article is Article 8, starts on page 41, and my understanding is that Mr. Watson has an amendment to this section. Might as well get it up and get it over with.
Mr. Chairman, it would be an oral amendment on pages 44 to 47, delete sections 6 to 10.
Right. And Mr. Chairman, this is what we talked about earlier. Members, this is the bonding portion of the transportation bill that we do every year. Unfortunately, we're doing our finance bill different this year than we have in the last 17 years that I've been here. So we've got to take the bonding portion out, which makes the transportation portion of the bill not look very good. What you see there is a $9 million cut to the Met Council, and that was our give back to the committee, and all the numbers are the same. The rest of the information that's in the transportation section is all boilerplate. So that's it, Senator Cohen. If Mr. Mossman or Ms. Boyd has anything else to add, that was about it. We reinstated the cuts that the governor made, and we just took it out of the Met Council. There was that extra money that came in under the invest revenues, and it we're not going to lose any bus service with the amendment that we put on earlier that shows that these are only reductions for this year, next year. You know, and the fund is supposed to go from having 40.
They're going to have 40 million more in the next session.
Okay, they're going to have 40 more million by the end of next session. Is that? Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members, looking at the February forecast, the MVEST coming into the Transit Assistance Fund specifically for Metro Transit, it's going to be about 39.8 million more relative to the end of session last year.
And Senator Murphy, relative to your amendment, you and I have discussed this, and the hope is that if you'd like to, that you'd introduce a separate bill, we'd hear it quickly in the committee, and then have a Senate position adopted, so going into a conference committee, we could hopefully come back with that on a House file and send that to the governor.
And Mr. Chairman and members, I want to tell you about what we took out of the bill and what we're going to put back in at a later date. It's actually the only part of the transportation system or the section that is exciting at all. Members, we do, I'm sorry, on page 43, there is one thing here I want to draw your attention to, and this is in the bill currently. Subdivision 3 that starts up on line 43.8, it's a federal emergency relief account. We're putting $5 million in there. Every now and again, we get federal emergency money to do road and bridge construction in the state of Minnesota, like the I-35W money. We need a place to park it until we can spend it. This account will let us do that. Now, the sections that we, and Section 5 establishes that account on the bottom of page 43 and runs towards the top of page 44. And then we cut out the rest of it. Members, the rest of it was when we passed the 08 transportation bill, we had authorized a huge chunk of bonding to repair all of our bridges in the state that were deficient, that were structurally deficient. What we want to do is we're getting such good bids right now on this bridge work that we want to advance the $20 million that we authorized for, I believe, 2017 and 18. And pay it forward into this construction year and next construction year. We're getting great bids. Might as well make hay when the sun's shining, right? So we advance that money, and we also give the department another $100 million of authority on top of that. That $100 million of authority are going to be spent in two different pots. One is $30 million to help the department, you know, with their day-to-day bid letting and all the construction, all the stuff that they do on a day-to-day basis. They can use that money for that. And the other $70 million is for that interchange account that we established in the 152 override of the governor's veto. That thing has proven to really make hay by using the economics of the situation. You build roads and businesses come. You build light rail, businesses come. You build commuter rail, businesses come. And so this interchange account is a good thing. It adds access to our highways. It adds a factor of safety. There's a lot of different components to it. But, you know, number one is always safety. Number two is creating some jobs and economic opportunities. And that will be part of the bill that will be in front of the committee next week. Yeah. Senator Cohen, I'd move the section.
Well, first, let's have a vote on your amendment. We have not voted on that yet. So Senator Murphy has moved deletion of that section. We've had the explanation. Excuse me.
Articles are
sections 6 to 10 of the article. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Then Senator Murphy moves that Article 8 be recommended for inclusion in the bill. Is there further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. Motion carries.
Ask for noes.
Thank you.
You're right. I didn't ask for the noes. maybe we should do that again. All those in favor of Senator Murphy's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion carries. Thanks, Senator Frederickson. All right. Is there further discussion on the bill itself? This is the conclusion of the articles.
Mr. Chairman.
If there's no further discussion, Senator Pappas.
I can make the motion.
Yeah. Senator
Do you want to repeat it? Say it for me?
Unless you've got it.
No, you do it.
Senator Pappas moves that SC 7645 as amended be recommended for introduction by the chairman as a committee bill and referred to the Committee on Taxes. On the Pappas motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Committee's adjourned. Thank you very much, members.
Mr. Chairman, I forgot I wanted to ask for a roll call.
Don't worry about it.